As we sing that last verse, I was like, is the trumpet about to happen? Could we actually be ready to stand before the throne? And to stand before the throne faultless. That's a gift that you cannot, I can't fathom. I know my guilt. I know my sin of my life. And I know I still fall short every week. But one day to be dressed in His righteousness, to stand before the throne faultless. Whew. All right, folks, we are in our discipleship study. But before we get to it, I want to just a minute to talk about what happened yesterday. We know there was an assassination attempt on President Trump, and it really rattled a lot of people. And I don't think it was surprising. I think a lot of people have been expecting something like that. And over the next week, we'll probably learn a lot of who the individual was and all sorts of stuff. There's already conspiracy theories running rapid online. And the Senate and the Congress, they're going to be holding hearings on the Secret Service. And some are saying the Secret Service, FBI were involved. And oh. Do we need to pray for President Trump? As much as we need to pray for President Biden, we have a divided nation, folks, divided people in many ways. We need to be praying. We need to be praying for Trump and for Biden. Two men, not trying to be judgmental here, but two men who are not walking with God. Yet, there's hope. We need to pray for both of them. We need to pray for those, unfortunately, who call us their enemies, who call us extremists, radicals, and we're dangerous to the country if you're a conservative. So, those who are liberal, that's how they see us. We need to be praying for those people. We need to be praying for our people. So, we're going to discuss some things tonight at the gathering, dealing with what happened yesterday. It's just some food for thought for people. Let's go a little deeper in their thinking on this. But I am not fearful in the way that I'm not trusting God, but I am fearful that if our people don't, both sides, don't wake up and look up, those shots yesterday were just the first of many coming. And our nation is so divided, I think there's going to be more violence the closer we get to this election. I pray that I'm wrong. We need to be praying for our people. We need a revival. So, if you want to talk more about that subject, come back tonight for the gathering. All right, we are in our discipleship study. I'm being ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. We understand 1 Peter tells us this, instructs us to do this. This is not a suggestion. This is on all of us. If you have been born again by the blood of the Lamb, you must obey this. You must equip yourself. You must be trained and knowledgeable in what you believe and why you believe it. Sitting in a pew is not good enough. So, you need to come and be instructed here and in Bible studies, and you need to be taking the Word of God in for yourself and letting the Holy Spirit grow you. And you need to become comfortable with sharing your faith, sharing the gospel truth, and sharing what you believe and why you believe it, how you know it to be true. And that's why we've gone over all these major questions that are usually asked of believers. We've talked about all these subjects, and we are now in the subject of evolution. Now, did the evolution really happen? Now, most of the time when people talk about evolution, they are having a scientific discussion or debate. It's not. This is not scientific. Not at all. Evolution is a theory at best, but it is a faith-based system. It is a faith-based belief. This is not a scientific debate. This is a spiritual debate on whether evolution actually happened. Evolution is a spiritual deception. Now, last week we were talking about the different kinds of evolution, and we looked at chemical evolution, organic evolution. If you believe in evolution, macroevolution, which we'll get to next week, the changing of one animal into another kind of animal or another species, you first have to believe in chemical evolution and organic evolution. That chemicals got together, amino acids formed amino acids, formed protein chains that formed eventual cells. So the inorganic world became organic simply through chemistry. Life is just an accident. We talked about that, and we looked at the odds because of the complexity of life, the complexity of the cell, of the proteins, of the amino acids, the DNA. This is impossible. But they showed you the video. I showed you the article from PBS that says we came from the rocks. The elements were eroded from the rocks. They flowed into the rivers, which flowed into the oceans and formed the primordial soup mixture, or they were called the goo, and life was there, the elements of life were there, lightning hit it, and bam! We looked at the odds of that actually happening. I don't know if you remember the odds, but here's the odds. If you want to play the lottery, and I don't suggest you do, but play the lottery, you have 1 in 300 million chance. Now, is that possible to win? Yes, it's possible. People win the lottery. But most don't. Because it's a long shot. But the chances for chemical evolution of just one amino acid, 20, about 100 amino acids getting together in the right sequence to form one protein of 600 needed for a cell, the chances of just one protein chain is one, and that's like octillion. I don't even know what that number is. I wish my bank account looked like that. But it's impossible. Chemical evolution has been proven false. But you still have to believe it if you're going to believe in evolution. If you're going to believe in one animal changing into a different kind of animal, you have to believe in chemical evolution. And the chances are none. This is not scientific. If you're going to believe in chemical evolution, you're taking it by faith. And faith that goes against the evidence. That's not what the Bible does. We have evidence-based faith that supports us. Evolution has nothing to do with science. It is pure hopefulness. It's faith from people who want to have faith that there is no God because they don't want to be accountable to a God. Evolution is a faith-based system. It masquerades as science, but it is not. And the Bible warned us about the science, falsely so-called science. If you go back to the old King James Bible of 1611, 1 Timothy 6:20 says, "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called." Science means knowledge. That's what the word means. There's knowledge out there that claims opposition to the truth of God. And it's referred to as science. But it's falsely so called. It's not real knowledge. It's not true knowledge. Again, evolution theory is a spiritual deception that attempts to use science to legitimize the theory. It replaces the supernatural truth of God and His creation with all natural causes. from the Big Bang to stellar evolution to chemistry evolution and on. And since in their system, everything is natural, there is no God, that means there is no morality. That means there's no accountability. There's no judgment. You see, evolution is not a spirit, is not a scientific debate, it's a spiritual deception. And it comes from the Father of all lies. And it's been around a lot longer than Darwin. The heart, the spirit of what evolution is all about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, "The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan." Satan has been working for a long time to bring his final kingdom, his final lawless one, the Antichrist. He's been working for this for a long time, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Jesus and the Scriptures tell us and warn us about deception everywhere. The closer you get to the end, the more deception. And we realize we've been in the end times for a while, right? So, chemical evolution teaches the building blocks of life came from the stardust of the universe, found in the elements that eroded from the rocks, got together, lightning, boom, we have life. So basically what they're teaching is the earth created us. We're from the earth. We're made from the earth. So that is why many in our society call the earth what? Mother. Mother Earth. Now, Mother Earth is a way, maybe you haven't realized it, or Mother Nature, this is describing the natural processes of evolution, including chemical evolution, that we are a product of the Earth. We came from our Mother Earth. Now, this is not a new concept, and I'll show you that. But that is what chemical evolution is teaching. The earth is the source of life. It's code for chemical evolution. And it's being taught to your children and your grandchildren to deceive them. So they think life is no big deal, it just happens by natural causes. There's no reason to look to a natural, beyond the natural, to supernatural. There's no reason to look for a great designer, a creator, a God. Because life is downplayed by them. I showed you that last week. And you see this Mother Earth concept? It has a whole day that we actually celebrate it. Do you know what that day is? Well, you gave away, Levi! Don't help them. Yes, Earth Day. And kids celebrate this in schools. I'm sure some of your kids and grandkids have celebrated Earth Day and they're taught all this good stuff about the Earth and taking care of the Earth because the Earth is our... They do teach this. And do you know what the real name for Earth Day is? Now go to the next one, Levi. The General Assembly of the United Nations designated this day, 22nd April, as what? International Mother Earth Day. That's the real name. They're indoctrinating our children. Save our Mother Earth. Romans 1 tells us that people will get away from God and His truth, and so they'll worship the creation instead of the Creator. And people are more concerned with saving the earth than saving people, souls. International Mother Earth Day 2024. I found this very interesting. I looked at this picture and I looked up in the corner. What do you see? I see a swastika. Now, the swastika was used long before the Nazis. It's a new age. It's going all the way back to the Buddha and all that. And it's a symbol of goodwill and good fortune. But the Nazis hijacked it. Would we agree in history? So why would you have something that still has the swastika? This company is about getting this stuff into the school system. To make your kids, dumb them down, not to appreciate their life, to believe they're just animals, higher of all, but still animals, and to worship the earth instead of God. To worship mother. When there is no mother, there is only Father. Father God. Period. Now this is an old deception. This deception of Mother Earth goes way beyond, way back further than 1859 when Darwin wrote his book. You see, Darwin's book and this chemical evolution is just repackaging an old false belief, repackaged for a more modern time. Go to the next slide, Levi. Here we have Catholicism, which has been, and I don't mean, Catholicism has been a corrupt church from the very creation of the Catholic Church has been corrupt. Our Mother Earth. There are the teachings of the Tibet Buddhist. The earth is not just our environment, the earth is our mother. And going all the way back to American Native American belief systems. And Native American belief systems are pagan. The earth is our mother. You see, this same lie from the same deceiver from the very beginning, from the Garden of Eden, has been trying to get people away from God any way he can. And to start looking at the earth as our mother. To worship the earth and the creation. And chemical evolution is just a more modern way of saying the same thing that Satan's been trying to deceive people with for hundreds and thousands of years. But you know, when you look at science correctly, honest, true science, because true science is based on the laws of God, it's designed, it's based on the intelligent design of the universe. Science brings you closer to God. False science takes you away. Louis Pasteur said this, "A little knowledge of science makes you an atheist. In-depth knowledge of science makes you a believer in God." When you really get into the details of science, the cell, it screams creator. We'll get into the cell later. Psalms 19 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge." The creation screams, there's a creator. Not natural causes, but supernatural. Psalms 139:14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." I didn't come from rocks. I didn't come from light and hitting some elements in the goo, and then life sprung, and my ancestors are creepy, crawly things that crawled out of the water. No, I am made in the image of God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Romans 1:20 says this, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse." Real science, real observation brings us closer to God. So we come back to the question, did evolution really happen? So we've talked about many aspects of this so far. Today we're going to talk about the missing links. I'm going to do it very quickly because we're already running out of time. The missing links, these are the transitional life forms between the first walking monkey, supposedly, the first monkey that could stand up on two legs, because most monkeys are, they walk around on all four. They're called knuckle draggers or knuckle walkers. Because they use their knuckles and their front arms and stuff to walk. But they say there's transitional life forms between the first walking monkey to the human beings. Called missing links. Now here are the missing links. Next slide, Levi. The first one is Lucy. She is our ancestor from a long time ago. You'll see her in a second. She's the first monkey they say could walk on two legs. Play.
This is your ancient ancestor from 300,000 generations ago, Australopithecus afarensis. They're nesting for the night. This one has a special role in the story of you and me. We'll call her Lucy.
Okay, that's Lucy. Okay. She was called Lucy by the archaeologists who found her, and they were listening to a song by the Beatles, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, which represents LSD. That's why she's named Lucy. Okay? And as they said, this is your ancestor. You're not made in the image of God. You are made in the image of Lucy. Now, there's a lot more to this. This is a film for children that was made, and it's like 2 hours long. And it's a huge soap opera that they make up. They go into all this stuff, and we don't have time for that. But I want you to understand, this is Lucy. This is who they're talking about as the first missing link. Okay, that they supposedly discovered. But I want you to listen to the next one.
The more you watch of these creatures, the more like apes they seem. So why, in the one crucial aspect, are they so very unlike apes? What on earth could have happened to make an ape stand upright and walk on two legs?
Listen very close.
The answer is, the world changed. Let's travel even further back in time, before even afarensis was around. We're still in Africa, but it's 8 million years ago, and home to the tree-living ancestor of Lucy and her kind. We've never found any fossil evidence of these mysterious apes, yet we know a few vital things about them.
Did you catch that? There's a couple things in there. First, they're still in Africa. Because again, evolution is racist. So the first humans and the less evolved humans are dark skinned. So life had to come from Africa. God says now it started the Tower of Babel, this taking life out to the world. But they said it's Africa, right? Because it has to be. But he also said the ancestors of Lucy. We've never found any fossilized evidence of these creatures, but we know something about them. Play it again.
The more you watch of these
creatures, the next
and home to the tree-living ancestor of Lucy and her kind. We've never found any fossil evidence of these mysterious apes, yet we know a few vital things about them.
They don't have any evidence fossilized of them existing. How do they know they existed? This is pure imagination being taught in this video, in the public school system. This is someone's complete imagination. This is not scientific. They have no evidence, but they're going to tell the kids we know all about them. This is propaganda. This is faith. Wrong kind of faith. This is basically teaching in school as science once upon a time in a far, far away place. Fairy tales. Let me show you Lucy. Go next slide. There's Lucy. That's what they found of Lucy. This little monkey that supposedly was the first to be able to walk on two legs. It's a famous discovery, and it's a hoax. You know when he finally discovered it and made the announcement that they found this amazing monkey that has this special knee bone? You see the little knee bones down there? They have a special knee bone that tells them that these were a monkey that walks on two legs. Do you know when they discovered and made the announcement? The day his grant money was to expire. The root of all evil is the love of money. It's amazing timing. He made this awesome discovery when the grant money was about to run out. That's another story in this story. But not all the bones were found together. That's what's amazing. That's what they didn't tell the world when they first announced it. These bones were not found together. These bones were not even found on the same day. And they were not even found in the same location. Lucy Fail's test as a missing link. Dr. Johansson, the one who says that he discovered it, finally came out. How far away from Lucy did you find the knee bone? The knee bones were actually discovered about a year earlier than the rest of Lucy. Dr. Johansson answered reluctantly, about 200 feet lower. Now that's crazy, because if you believe in evolution, which you do, if their bones are 200 feet lower than other bones, are they in the same era? No, they're millions of years apart. 200 feet lower and 2 to 3 kilometers away, 1.5 miles. She must have gotten hit like by a semi or something. Right? He goes on to explain, next slide, Levi, that he admitted within his report that the skull that is shown in all the books as belonging to a reconstructed Lucy was actually pieced together from 13 different individuals. You saw the bones I showed you. Were there any feet bones included? No. But guess what kind of feet they gave her? The St. Louis Zoo has Lucy on display with human feet and hands. No feet or hand bones were found. It's propaganda. They're creating a missing link from a monkey that's multiple individuals. And when you actually study her in close, it looks like she's just a chimpanzee. Next slide, Levi. This guy says the ape-like profile of It's so pronounced that outline can be superimposed. Lucy's can be superimposed on that of a female chimpanzee with a remarkable closeness of fit. This guy says, regardless of the status of Lucy's knee joint, new evidence has come forth that Lucy has a morphology of a knuckle walker. She's just a monkey. But the guy needed his grant money, so he invented supposedly a knee joint, but it's just the knee joint of a chimpanzee. But they want you to believe, once upon a long time ago, I don't know how that goes. My brain's drawing a blank. Go back to the next slide. Lucy is a fairy tale. Once upon a time, there it is. My brain wasn't working. Once upon a time in a far, far away place. Hildeberg Man is another link they say they have found. But do you realize that they built that entire missing link creature from one jawbone? That was conceded to be many to be quite human. So they found one jawbone and they created an entire creature from it. But it gets better. Nebraska Man, they built him completely from one tooth. Hey, these scientists are good now. You trust they're scientists, right? They constructed an entire missing link from one tooth. And then later, the one tooth was found out to be a tooth of a pig. This is all facts you can look up. They say they have missing links. They say they have evidence for evolutionary, the transition. Well, this is what they got. Piltdown Man is probably the most famous. Piltdown Man was discovered. Well, actually, it was a huge hoax. Next slide. This guy, now when Darwin wrote his book in 1859. He said, if there's not scientific evidence to support my theory in the first 100 years, then my theory's wrong. Well, he wrote it in 1859. In 1959, we're getting close to the 100-year mark. Man, people are scared. We haven't found the evidence yet to support Darwin. So this guy took a human skull and a gorilla jawbone. He ground down the joint and made it seem like it fit together. Then he poured acid to burn the skull to make it look old. Then he went out and buried it in Piltdown, England. And then he went and discovered it. And everyone, look, the missing link. People wrote papers, their thesis, their doctorate. They, for a long time, and then it found out it was a complete hoax. But they still have Piltdown Man as a missing link. Peking Man, supposedly a full-grown specimen they found from 500,000 years ago. But all of the evidence is gone. No one knows where it went. Okay. Then you got Neanderthal Man. How much have you heard about Neanderthals? Oh, there's all sorts of stuff out there. And they usually draw them kind of different looking. Human-like, but not fully human. Ha! Neanderthals have been misunderstood. Now, I found a great article, Answers in Genesis, on Neanderthals. You can go there and read this great article. I got a little parts of it. In the 1960s, new studies on Neanderthals revealed that their skeletal distinctions were not that significant. And even evolutionists gave them subspecies status with modern humans. Again, there's the name, Homo sapien, Neanderthalian, whatever. It is now clear that Neanderthals did share genes with modern humans. Not surprising if they were fully human to begin with. Now, when we look at Neanderthals, people say, well, they couldn't be human because they're bigger than humans, modern humans. And evolution teaches we started as a 3-foot monkey and now we are evolved. No. What does the Bible teach? What was the pre-flood creation like? You guys remember? Very good, but how were the bugs, the animals, the plants, and the humans? Bigger! You see, God says, you were bigger before, and now you're smaller. We showed all the scientific evidence for that when we went through that. Next slide, Levi. So Neanderthals have bigger eyes, bigger noses, bigger teeth. So they seem, well, they can't. And that also has been a problem for the evolutionists, because the evolutionist says, well, that doesn't really fit with our thing. Now we're smaller. So they say they're a subspecies of... No, they were just big humans. Probably a lot of them are pre-flood humans. Probably some are post-flood as well. Goes on in the article. Next slide. There you go. There. Says that looking at them... Either way, we believe that they would be fully capable of reproducing with modern humans if they were living today. That has just been confirmed scientifically. From a biblical perspective, they were a post-flood, ice age people specializing in hunting the large grazing animals. Now, let me just ask you and see if your mind thinks like my mind. Cold ice conditions, big people. Who do you think of? Vikings! Or what else? Just northern tribes, right? Icelandic people, right? They're big people. Have you ever seen them? I mean, we got big people too, but next slide, Levi. Now, if you took the two skulls of those, I don't even know what they are, to their two skulls compared to that normal guy in the middle, would their skulls look different? Oh, yeah. There's some big people out there. Next slide. All right. Big boys out there. Next slide. You know, that's a group of people you don't want to run into in a dark alley with, right? Some big boys. You see, you got some huge, even today, but in the past they were bigger. Everything was bigger. And after the flood, they were still big, and they probably started, you know, going down over the years. We can show that with the age and with the size. But there's still some big people out there. They're still human, even though they're monsters, right? But you have the flip side of this in the world. I think it's Papua New Guinea. You have the pygmies. Next slide. That's a full-grown man right there. They're not dwarfs. They're not what we call small people or anything like that. This is the size. They're pygmies. They're on the opposite scale as the giants. Most of us are in the middle somewhere between the giants and the pygmies. They're small people. Now, what if you put one of these pygmies up against one of these giants? Next slide. You see those men? Those are adult men. They're only around 4 foot. Average 3 to 4 foot. Now, if you took one of their skulls compared to the giant next to them, you would think they're different species, maybe? A different kind? No. They're human. Big human, little human. Still human. Right? That's what Neanderthals are, people. Just big humans from the past. New Guinea man. What does he look like? Does he remind you of any humans today? Think Australia. Aborigines look just like Aborigines. Cro-Magnon man? Why is that man not human? Modern man. The bottom row, except for, don't let artists' drawings, because remember, they don't have to have the evidence these animals exist, but they can tell you all about them, which means they can also draw them from their imagination. Don't get to let the drawings, these artists' renditions, or their sculptures, or in museum, their dummies, swayed you. No, this is all propaganda. It's all from their imagination. The bottom line are all human. And the top line never existed. Lucy existed, but she was just a monkey. Click one, Levi. It's a lie, folks. But you'll talk to kids today and they say, oh, they have evidence for evolution. No, they don't. No, they don't. Don't be fooled. All smoke and mirrors. 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions to the truth. Oppositions of science, falsely so called. Evolution is the spiritual deception masquerading as science. It is a false religious belief system. Period. And it's teaching our young people to worship the earth and worry more about the earth and climate change and all this stuff than their fellow humans. It's developed people who wish the population of humanity would be decreased. There's some so sick that one of the royal family, Prince, what was his name? Is it Prince Edward? Oh, I forget. One of the princes in the royal family of England said if he could be reincarnated, he'd want to come back as a killer virus to decrease the world's population. Because humanity is a cancer on Mother Earth. When you take your eyes off of God and you see your fellow humans and yourself as just animals, then you're going to act like animals. You're going to think like animals. And you can treat each other very poorly, very wickedly. Because it's evolution. Survival of the fittest. It's cruel. And there is no God to say it's wrong. Evolution is a concept that is just a deception by the enemy. That's all it is. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's what evolution is doing. It's teaching people they don't have to worry about their sin. And it teaches them they don't have to be saved. But God says, I've appointed a day in which I will judge the world in righteousness. He commands everyone to repent because He has fixed this day. And He's given assurance to all people of this, by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. There is a God in heaven. There is a Creator. We're not some 1950s sci-fi movie, lightning hitting dead material, bringing to life like Dr. Frankenstein. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Science teaches us that. DNA and the cell is a universe in itself. The DNA is a code greater than any digital code man has ever created. The brain is the most complex computer known to humanity. It didn't happen by accident. We didn't come from the rocks. We didn't come from the goo to the zoo to you. Okay, it doesn't happen. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. We have a Creator we are accountable to. We have sinned and separated ourselves from that Creator. He loved us enough. We sang about it. To send us Jesus to die for our sins. So the justice of God could be satisfied and the love of God provided. So we could be saved. And we can be back in relationship with the one who created us. This is the truth we need to take to people. I know many of you have relatives and friends who believe in evolution, and that keeps them from thinking about God. You need to challenge them in a loving, kind way. But if you let them remain in this deception, and that's what it is, spiritual deception, they will stand the judgment, and you will see them cast into the lake of fire. God is patient that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. We should have the exact same heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, I thank You for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear, and I pray we do, that this evolution is a deception. It's not scientific. It's not something we just get bored with and ignore. This is teaching our children and taking people away from You. It is redirecting them to worship the earth as their mother, as their creator. And they dismiss You completely. And Lord, this is far-reaching in our society and around the world. And so, Lord, I ask You to help us understand that we, by Your grace, know who You are. Who are we that we should? We're nobodies. But, Lord, You found us. You saved us. And You brought us out of the darkness, out of the deception, out of slavery. And You have set us upon the rock. And now, Lord, we are on the rock that is solid, that is true, who is Christ. And now we need to tell the whole world to come to the rock and come out of deception. I ask You to help us do that, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we have opportunities this week. Everyone sitting in here, everyone connected to this church, wherever they may be right now, Lord, that we have opportunities to share the gospel, to witness, to testify, to speak to people. Please give us those opportunities. Give us eyes to see those opportunities and give us the courage to step out and take those opportunities. Lord, help us to be Your church this week, to be salt and light, to bring the truth, show You to a world that is lost, dying, and spiraling out of control. We pray this in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand up? We're going to stop here. We are out of time, so we're not going to do the closing song. But we did get started late. So actually, We're not bad. So, we are Team Jesus. Let's go be His church, folks. We're the team on the field. No longer the first century church, they did their time. The second century church did their time. It is our time. We are the church. We are the team on the field. Let's get the job done. We are the few, not because we're so awesome, but many are saved, many are called, few are chosen. And we're not chosen because we're so great. It's all gets grace, but we are the few. We are the loved, and we are the redeemed, all because of Him. Nothing about us. We're nobodies. But now we know somebody, and we need to go share that somebody. We got purpose and meaning now that we never had before. Let's go be the team. Let's go be the church. Let's go be salt and light. Let's try to reach one person this week. One. All right, let's break out here and count to three. One, two, three. Great. Let's go.